There we go. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so thank you, Mike, for that word on resurrection. We're talking about the end time events here, and there are two comings of Christ. There's the coming secretly, suddenly to his temple, as spoken by Malachi the prophet. And there's also a final, shall we say, final coming, the parousia coming, the every eye shall see him, the sound of the trumpets, and this type of thing. And of course, there seems to be resurrection, general resurrection, associated with this parousia coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This grand, shall we call it, the grand coming. But there's also something else that's associated with the time of resurrection, and that is a thing called judgment, a judgment time. Not saying it's the final and the everlasting, the only judgment, but there is a judgment, and I want to read talk about that judgment a little bit. We look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We'll take 9 and 10 together. And we're striving, we're occupied, amen. And then he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat
Mark, you're freezing. You keep freezing and then coming back on again. There's something wrong.
What's happening, Mike?
You're freezing up where you're just frozen in time and can't hear anything for a while, and then you'll say something and then you freeze again. So there's something going haywire with the thing.
Do you want me to go out and come back in?
Well, unless it's just my computer, is that happening with everyone else?
Yeah.
All
Yeah,
right,
they have.
let me go out and I'll come back in then, okay?
Okay.
Bear with me. Let me assign Sissy the meeting here for now.
I've gone back.
Yes, am I back?
Yeah,
Is it better now?
yes.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, I believe we're being recorded then. Okay. Let me make sure. Host allows you to record this meeting. Okay, that's somebody else became the host here for a minute. Sissy, I believe. Sissy, you allowed me to come back in?
Marcia just said to allow recording, and I said allow recording, so.
Okay, well, that's good then. Thank you, Sissy. All right, now let's come back to the verse in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, and especially verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So this is a judgment for the Christians, okay? This is not a judgment for the sinners. This is not a question of whether you go to heaven or hell. This is the Christian's judgment as to what he has done while we're living here in the flesh. A judgment of Christ. Now, it doesn't say a judgment of a great white throne or anything like that. But let me read this. Very interesting to read this in the Amplified Bible, because it says it's something quite different. I mean, it really opens up the volume on this a little bit. It says, "For we must all appear and be revealed as we are." Isn't that interesting? We will be revealed as we are. In other words, we may not know one another now. We may not know all the secret things going on in somebody's heart or even in their life. But this judgment seat of Christ is going to be a revelation of who we really are, what we've really been doing, what we've really been thinking, and this type of thing. Let me start again. For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ. So that seat implies some kind of a throne. You're coming before some kind of a judge here, okay? So that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motive has been and what he has achieved, being busy with and given himself and his attention to accomplishing. In other words, what's been your whole goal and aim in life? What have you been spending all your time at insofar as the years and the days that you've been given on this earth in this natural body? So we're going to face something about the time of resurrection before Christ. Now, I don't know how this is going to be carried out. We can only imagine. We can imagine a great seat, a great throne set up somewhere. I don't know. All I know is that this is going to happen, and it would appear that it's not just going to be revealed to Christ, but it's going to be revealed to the body of Christ, to the whole realm of the kingdom. Now, there's another interesting couple of verses that relate to this seat judgment of Christ. And if we go back to the book of John, the fifth chapter, Jesus does some teaching about this judgment that he has been given of the Father. And maybe this would open up our eyes a little bit to what this judgment is all about. I think if we can maybe start, it's quite a few verses here. If we could start in verse 19, and I'll just read through quite a bit here. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, he's saying, the Father and I are one. We're one. There's no separation here in us. What I'm doing is you're seeing the Father. When Jesus speaks, it's the Father speaking as well. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Isn't that interesting? All right? That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath seen him. So if you just believe in God, but you don't believe in Jesus the Messiah, then you don't believe in the Father. That's what it means here, okay? You can't have one without the other. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's your belief, Brother Mike. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and live. So what he's speaking is there's a present time, and there's a future time of a future resurrection from the voice of the Son. Amen. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority, exousia that would be, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So he's given Jesus the authority of judgment. Amen. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. I think we read that last week, didn't we? And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. Now, this is something that's been given to the Son. What is he going to give to us, his body? Okay, I'm just asking the question. Let's get into it a little bit. Now, if we look over in Romans, the chapter 2, we're talking about the judgment of Christ now. Let's look and see what Romans has to say about it. Or should I say Brother Paul in the book of Romans? Chapter 2, we'll start in verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Amen. Judge the secrets of men according to the gospel. Hallelujah. So, what kind of secrets are we holding? Good question. They shall be, if they're not good secrets, they should be confessed and repented of and put under the blood. Otherwise, the other choice you have is you can wait till they're all exposed in the whole realm, and they're going to be judged according to secrets, hidden things. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. And I think somewhere around here we are. Let's start in verse 10. We're talking about this judgment seat of Christ again. Same term here. It says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There it is, a second witness. We shall stand before a judgment seat of Christ. Now, remember, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment as are you going to hell or are you going to heaven? These are believers. Believers have to go through some kind of a judgment of Christ. And it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now, it would seem to me that whether you agree or whether you don't agree, or whether you would like to bow your knee or whether you wouldn't like to bow your knee, you're going to do it because of the power and the authority of the Christ who has returned in his glory. No man will be able to refuse to bow to that authority. Amen. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In other words, it seems like we're going to have to give an answer. We're going to have to give some kind of a response to what this is. What judgment is being exposed to us. How do you account for yourself, Brother Mark? Look, this has been your motive all along. Give an account to me if you can. And probably the only thing I could say is, Lord, I really blew it. I mean, I was looking at something else. I wasn't really pursuing your kingdom with all my heart. Please forgive me, Lord. I really want to be different. So this is a judgment. Now, if we go to Matthew, we have another scene. Matthew 25, okay? When we get into Matthew 25, we're really getting into end time things. Now, in the heading on this little paragraph here, whoever printed this Bible said judgment of the Gentiles. Well, I'm not so sure this is just Gentiles that are being judged, okay? So I'll overlook that heading and let's just read what it has to say. I won't read the whole thing, but I'm going to give you enough, and you can tell me, what does this mean? This is quite a scene here. Matthew 25, let's go to verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Okay, that's the parousia. He's come back in his glory. He's being manifest. He's being revealed now to the whole world. And all the holy angels with him. So he's bringing heaven with him, okay? Angels are, my goodness, there must be millions of angels that are involved in this scene. And shall sit upon the throne of his glory. By the way, this isn't Paul writing. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples in these end time words that he's bringing. Amen. This is the word of Jesus, all right? And before him, he's talking about himself, before him shall be gathered all nations. So that's good and bad, isn't it? All nations. Amen. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Amen. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, this doesn't sound like the same judgment seat of Christ, where we as Christians give account of what we've done with our life as to whether we get the Amplified said, each one according to his pay will be paid according to. So it seems that that judgment is what reward do you get or lack of reward. I can only think of this poor sinner thief hanging on the cross. What reward will that poor man get for what he has done with his life? Not much. But he'll get into the kingdom, right? Now we have a judgment between those who are going to get into the kingdom and those who are not, all right? So it isn't just Gentiles, in other words, quote unquote, amen? It's Christians and non-Christians, unbelievers. So those on the right, what does he say? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. In other words, this was all planned before the Garden of Eden, before the foundation of the earth. It's all been planned, laid out. Now, let's take a couple other verses here and go down to verse 41. We've read all this, you know, I was naked and ye clothed me, sick and ye visited me, in prison ye came unto me. Okay, so in other words, those who inherit the kingdom, he's saying that these are some of the things that you did. You did them unto me. And they say, well, I don't know that I did it unto you. And he'll say, well, if you did it for one of the least of these, you did it unto me. So the opposite on the other side now, they didn't do it. But maybe they thought they did it. Well, you know, We ran a soup kitchen and we did this and we did that and we worked at the Salvation Army and we were scoutmasters for Boy Scouts and we did a lot of good things, you know. We helped, you know, we gave money to the Lions Club to help the blind. Well, okay. Then shall he say unto them on the left, this is the goats, okay? Depart from me, ye cursed. So he's telling them they're cursed. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Remember, we talked about how the word everlasting means everlasting. It doesn't mean temporary. It doesn't mean purgatory for a little while. It doesn't mean till you get some of that sin fried out of you. No, it's everlasting. You've come to a point, it's all over, the judgment is happening, you're going right or you're going left. For I was hungered, etc., etc., and I was thirsty, I was a stranger, you know, you didn't take me in, you didn't clothe me, you didn't care for me when I was sick, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And by the way, some of us saints might have been in prison. It doesn't mean because we're felons or that we were violent or murderers or anything like that. If we were in prison, you should have visited me. You should have encouraged me. Amen? So we come to verse 46 then. It says, that's 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not, to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. So that means that if you're wounding one of them in the body of Christ, with your words, your slander, what have you. You're wounding Christ. You've done that to him too. Amen. Then these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So there's a judgment again of Christ. Jesus said, the Father has given me the judgment. Now, when we say, well, you shouldn't judge your brother. Well, people use that term to say that we shouldn't identify sin, that we shouldn't acknowledge certain things as sin. And no, that's not, you know, how do we compare that with the word that says, by their fruit you shall know them? Is that judging? Well, that's not the same kind of judgment. What we're talking about judgment here is like a court situation where the judge is sitting on the throne, the jury is there, the evidence is being presented, and the judge says, okay, you're guilty, I'm going to sentence you to XYZ. That's not what you do when you say, well, the man's living in sin. I can't fellowship with him. I can't take him in to communion with me as long as he's living in the manner that he is. That's the kind of fruit that you shall know. Now, let's get to this great white throne for a minute in Revelation chapter 20. Here's another judgment scene. And you know, the one we just read in Matthew 25, I don't know, I really don't know how this is going to be carried out. Are we going to see, you know, in my natural carnal mind, I see a great, great plain where we can gather millions of people together. I see this great throne sitting there, the great being sitting on the throne, making these pronouncements, goats left, sheep right. I don't know. This is a spiritual picture, brethren, and I can't get my mind around how this would work out in a natural sense. All I know is it's going to happen. And when it happens, we're going to know that it's happening. Amen? And I think the same thing that we have here in Revelation 20. Now, let me read a few of these verses. We talked about this when we talked about resurrection. I believe we did. You know, the verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, let's move this down to verse 11. We're in the great white throne, if we want to call it that, judgment. Amen. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You know, brethren, in all eternity, I believe that what we're going to see of God is what we're going to see of Jesus Christ. Amen? Here, Patty, I need to ask. You're muted. Okay. So here we are again. Amen? And whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, why did they flee away? What kind of judgment is this? Okay. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. All right, the book or the books? Which will it be? Will it be the book or will it be the books? Now, if your name is written in the book, okay, you will not be judged by the books. Where is the verse here? The book. I think it's in the earlier part of this chapter. I'm looking for the one on that had their name in the book.
Might be 12, Mark.
Well, I just read that, and stood before that. There's another verse. Oh, here it is. It's two other places. Let me find it in two other places. Chapter 3, verse 5 in Revelation. Let's take these witnesses. Chapter 3, verse 5. Okay. He that overcometh, this is the church of Sardis, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, the book, okay? But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, we find that also in chapter 13, verse 8. 13, verse 8, the book. Just the book, not the books. 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in, this is the Antichrist, by the way, the beast out of the sea. All that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the thing is, brethren, by the blood of the Lamb, amen, you get your name in the book. By the forgiveness of sin, your name is in the book. You know, Moses knew about that book somehow. When Israel sinned, he said, Lord, if it takes to blot my name out so that they can have their name in, go ahead and do it. And the Lord said, no, we don't do it that way, Moses. I'm not going to blot your name out. We're just going to have to deal with them for their own sins. So we'll come back down here now. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now this is the books of the deeds of the unrighteous. They are judged, and their punishment is going to be according to their deeds. I can imagine that guys like Hitler, amen, Mussolini, Idi Amin, some of these terribly wicked individuals are going to have a very, very harsh punishment, because they're going to have to live with the sins tormenting them forever and ever of what they have committed. Amen. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. So if your name is there, you're safe. You're in the book. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So this dead, now that we're talking about, are at the end of the 1,000 years, amen, when they have their resurrection, and they come for their judgment, amen, and they're judged according to their books. What they did is written in books, plural. And the sea gave up the dead. Now, you could say, well, that's the natural sea. I would like to say that that's the sea of unredeemed humanity. Unsaved, unredeemed, wicked. Amen? The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. See, it isn't just, oh, you go right, you go left. There is a judgment of them. So there has to be some that are of a severe judgment, some that are of a good judgment. Oh, he's been a good man all his life, you know. He gave to help the poor, but you know what? He never got saved. Well, his judgment isn't going to be quite as bad as that of, say, Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin, who murdered millions of people. Amen? And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell, all right? Death and Hades. Those that are in Hades, death and hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So it seems that that death comes at the end of the 1,000 years. Why wait till the end of the 1,000 years? Well, it seems that during that 1,000 years, there might be a few more names to add to the list, so that the total is complete. Now, Daniel talked about judgment a good bit, the prophet Daniel. Let's go to the book of Daniel and see what Brother Daniel has to say about some of these things. Chapter 7, somewhere around verse 9. Let's find it in Daniel. You know, I like the book of Daniel. You can take Daniel and you can put it right up against Revelation, and you can find a lot of things that they're both bearing witness to. Let's start in verse 9 here in Daniel. He's seeing these visions here. Is everybody muted here? Who isn't muted? Larry, you want to mute yourself? There you go. Okay, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now, let's explain this first sentence here. To read it in the King James, one would think that he's talking about some of these other kingdoms that are, he's destroying their thrones. What this actually means, I believe, is that thrones are set down. Thrones are set up, in other words. Now, they're not just one throne, but a number of them. In other words, it sounds like it's both the throne of God, and he has set some kind of judgment for the body of Christ to participate in, all right? Put in place, yes, till the thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. And the hair of his head was like the pure wool. Doesn't that sound like the description of Jesus in the first chapter of Revelation when John saw, he saw Jesus, his hair white as snow, his feet like burnished bronze. Amen. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued came forth from before him. Thousands. By the way, they apparently didn't have a word for millions in the Hebrew language. So they had to say thousands. So 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000, but this is plural. So we have millions, amen, ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, The judgment was set and the books were opened. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Now I want to read that in the Amplified. It's a very interesting way the Amplified has it. And I think it opens up the understanding of what this judgment scene is all about. Okay, we'll start in verse 9. I kept looking until thrones were placed for the assessors with the judge. So there's assessors with the judge. That's the body of Christ. Amen. And the Ancient of Days, God the Eternal Father, took his seat, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. There's a million. And 10,000 times 10,000, that's 100,000 at least, or 100 million, I mean. It's at least 100 million. Amen. Am I getting the math right there, Howard? Amen. 10,000 times 10,000 rose up and stood before him. The judge was seated. The court was in session, and the books were opened. My goodness, can't your mind's eye just imagine this scene? The judge was seated, the court in session, and the books are opened. And we're going to be there. We're going to be among those millions, and we're going to participate somehow. We're going to be among those assessors that are saying, yes, yea, and amen. Blessed be the Lord. Pure and just art thou, O Lord. Just and true. Amen. We get a little further in this same chapter. Daniel is seeing a lot of judgment in this seventh chapter. Go over to verse 21 here in this chapter. I'm sorry, that's chapter 8. I went too far. 21, okay. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. All right, that's compares to Revelation chapter 13. Until the Ancient of Days came. Amen. Remember now, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. We are one. He and the Father, the Ancient of Days. Been here long before the foundation of the earth. Amen. And judgment was given to the saints. I'm reading from the Amplified now. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High God. How about this? I thought it was just the throne. No, judgment is also given to the saints of the Most High God. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Go down to verse 25. And he shall, we're just picking out the verses here about judgment, okay? Not about these beasts and their kingdoms and that type of thing. We just focus on the judgments here. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High God, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what he's trying to do right now. He's trying to wear us out. Amen. But brethren, we're going to wear him out, because we're going to keep praying, and we're going to be rebuking those devils, and we're going to be rebuking those demons, and we're going to be sending them to the abyss. Amen. And we're going to be saying, the Lord rebuke you in your attack against this brother. So we're going to wear him out, but he's trying to wear us out. Amen? And think to change the times of sacred feasts and holy days and the law And the saints shall be given unto his time, his hand, for a time, 2 times and a half, 3.5 years total. Now the next verse here. But judgment shall be set by the court of the Most High. Again, we find some kind of a heavenly court scene. Judgment set by the court of the Most High. That's the meaning of the word judgment, by the way. If you want to go look it up in your lexicon or whatever, it implies a judgment seat and a trial of some sort. Amen. And they shall take away his dominion to consume it gradually and destroy it suddenly in the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. I like this. I like the way Daniel had this implied. Amen. The court was set. The judge was on the throne. The jury was seated. The prosecutor was bringing the case. Amen. And there was no defense. And the judge issued the sentence. Well, that's basically what I have to say about judgment. And I know we've got lots of time. Maybe you want to add a little bit to this, but maybe I can add something else yet, which we really didn't touch on in the past. We talked about ruling and reigning. Maybe we can add this to it a little bit too. The Word of God says that we shall reign as kings and priests unto the Lord. So maybe we take a little time on this. Would that be okay? All right, you've agreed. We got a little extra time. Let me take what the Word of God says about this, and we go way back to the book of Exodus, first of all, because this might relate to the judgment too. If we're going to be kings and priests, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Now, God is laying it out to the purpose of his covenant here. And he says now in verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Well, the offer was given to the ancient people of Israel. And the fullness of that covenant came to them at the time of Jesus. All right, we're ready to make the offer now, if you can receive it. However, they rejected it. In fact, they rejected it in the days of Moses. They said, "No, we don't want to hear from God. We can't hear from him. He's too awesome. He's too terrible. We'll take whatever you say, Moses." In other words, they said, "We want a priesthood over us, and we don't want to be the priests, and we're not really fit to rule and reign either." So now we come to Isaiah, and the covenant is renewed again with Isaiah. Take Brother Isaiah here. And I'm getting there. Sorry, brethren. Here we are, Isaiah, and look in the 61st chapter, Right there about the end of Isaiah. Verse 6. Well, let me go back to verse 3, okay, because it's really good. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations. Brethren, we can be doing that right now. Amen. We don't have to wait until then. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. We can start doing reparation work in our own family. Amen. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call upon you. The ministers shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast yourselves. So priests, what is a priest? A priest is a representative. The purpose of a priesthood is to go between the people and God. Now, if you don't have a direct relationship with God, you need a priest. But he's saying, no, I want you to have direct access to me. You can come right in yourself into the Holy of Holies, unto the mercy seat, and find help and grace in a time of need. So that Holy of Holies, that mercy seat, is to be open to us. We don't need to have a priest. We can be a priest. Another witness of that in 1 Peter chapter 2, several verses here. First of all, verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now he's talking to the saints here. Your holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices by our prayers, that would be, by our worship, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Peter has another verse down here in 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal means what? Royal sounds like a kingship, a priesthood of kings. Amen? Rule and reign. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean an odd people. Doesn't mean that you look like clowns or anything like that. You're a special people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Now, a couple of verses in Revelation to confirm all this about priesthood, ruling and reigning, etc. Go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. It's right in the very first part here, when Jesus is introducing himself to John in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he met the Lord Jesus in a very powerful, glorious way. He didn't even recognize him. Amen. Verse 6 is Jesus speaking. Amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there's the first. Come over to verse 5. And in verse 10, or chapter 5, I mean, verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 9. Let's go back to verse 8. We're going to open up the seals of the book now, okay? And verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 angels fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. See, our prayers are precious, brethren. Our prayers are a sweet savor before the throne of God. In verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Brethren, we're going to come from all the four corners of the earth. There's going to be among us people from tribes and places that you've never heard of. People that have nothing been told about them are going to find the blood of Jesus. Amen. And thou hast made us, this is their song, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And there's one more verse on this, and that's back in 20, where we've been in chapter 20. And in verse 5, and now I'm going to read verse 4 so that it kind of flows right into 5. And I saw thrones, plural. I saw thrones, plural. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Judgment. Amen. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. See, they were given judgment. And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So there we have it, ruling as kings and priests, ruling and reigning again. We discussed that before, but here it is again. So we probably have a lot to talk about, and I'm going to turn the recording off, and I'll turn it back on again then. Let me find this thing recording here. Oh, here it is. No, I can pause the recording, I think. Did it stop? Hold on a minute. I think I need to reclaim this somehow. Sissy, do you still have the recording? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here it is. Here it is. I can reclaim it. Okay. I'm the host now. And where's the recording here? Maybe under more. Yeah, I guess it would be under more. Yes, here it is.